flip this on here.
Yes, just one click of whichever.
All righty. Well, I tell you, it's an honor to be in the house of the Lord tonight. Amen. And it's wonderful to be in the house of the Lord when He's at home. Amen. When the good presence of the Lord is here. Amen. And I thank God for the opportunity we have to be here tonight to be able to preach. And, you know, things happen in your life awful quick and unexpectedly. And just about a year ago, I all of a sudden found out I had non-alcoholic cirrhosis of the liver. And it leaves me weak. I don't have a lot of energy. I build up fluid and have to go every few weeks and get that drained off. And we just got to where we didn't feel like that we could do the church justice and try to pastor. But we're not giving up on preaching. Amen. We're going to keep on preaching until the Lord calls us home or until we can't no more. Amen. And so I thank God for His calling on my life. And God's given me a good life. He's given me a good family. He's given me a good wife that's loved me and stood by me for over 40 years. And been preaching for about 42 years now. And we pastored there at Victory in Smithville for 25 years. And so God's been good to us. And He's blessed us in many, many ways. And I want to praise Him tonight for His goodness on my life. And I don't have a lot of illustrations and a lot of stories. All I got is just the Bible. Amen. Just the Word of God. And I had made mention, I think it was yesterday, I said something to somebody about an old preacher saying, young preacher asked him, said, how many points should a good sermon have? And Brother Don Sable, he's the one I heard it from, he said, at least one. Amen. You know, some sermons you hear that, you know, you don't know what they're talking about. Amen. And I hope we could say something tonight to be a blessing, be a help to you from God's Word. If you would, let's take our Bibles. Let's go to the book of Genesis tonight. We'll just start at the beginning in the book of Genesis. Chapter number 28. I want to begin reading there in Genesis chapter 28 and verse number 10. It's a familiar passage of Scripture to us as we look at the Word of God. And, you know, you think about preaching and about what to preach and a Bible conference or a camp meeting. And somebody says, well, I don't know if this is a Bible conference or camp meeting sermon. Well, it must be because the Lord gave it to me. Amen. And so this is what we got for tonight. Genesis chapter 28, verse number 10. The Bible says, and Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. And he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillars and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and at the top of it reached to heaven, and behold, the angels of God ascended and descended on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south, and in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places where thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. And Jacob awaked out of his sleep, and he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. And Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had put for his pillars and set it up for a pillar, and poured oil upon the top of it. And he called the name of that place Bethel. But the name of that city was called Luz at the first. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God will be with me, and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat, and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God, and this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house, and of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. Only enough reading there, and with the Lord's help for a little while tonight, I want to preach on getting back to Bethel. Amen. Getting back to Bethel. Now, when Jacob was fleeing from his brother Esau, he came to the place called Luz. And he took those stones and he made him a pillar, and he laid down and he went to sleep. And while he was asleep, he dreamed a dream, and he saw a ladder that went from the earth up to heaven. And at the top of the ladder, he saw the Lord. And he said the angels of God were ascending and descending upon this ladder. Jacob actually saw a revelation of the salvation of the Lord. Jacob said, this is the way to heaven. And Jesus said over in the book of John 1 and verse 51, he said, hereafter shall you see the heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Jacob saw a vision of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a vision. Amen. For Jesus is the way to heaven. Jesus is the way of salvation. Now God spoke to Jacob in this dream, and he made promises to him and to his seed. And when Jacob woke up out of his dream, he called that place Bethel, which means house of God. And he made a vow unto the Lord. And Jacob said, if God will be with me and he'll keep me in this way that I go, and he'll give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, he said, then shall the Lord be my God. And then he added, he said, and of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. It did something when he met the Lord and got right with the Lord. He began to tithe. You know, I believe when people get saved and people get right with God, I don't believe they'll have a problem with tithing. I run across a fellow one time that he was kind of debating with me, you know, about the issue of tithing. He said, you know, the tithing is under the law. And I said, well, I said, there's a problem with that. I said, because Abraham tithed before the law. He gave tithes to Melchizedek. And I said, Jacob tithed before the law. And I said, you know, the Bible says over in the book of Galatians that therefore, he said, the children, he said, those that are the children of God are the seed of Abraham. And then the Bible said, Jesus was talking to those scribes and Pharisees, and he said, if you were the children of Abraham, you'd do the works of Abraham. And I said, what are you going to do with that? And he run out of things to say. Amen. But I believe when people get saved and get right with the Lord, they won't have a problem with tithing. Amen. Now, God fulfilled his part of this vow. He fed and clothed Jacob. He protected him. But Jacob came up a little short in his commitment to the Lord. And I want you to turn with me to the book of Genesis, chapter number 35. Genesis chapter 35 and verse number 1. Y'all pray for me now and help me get started here. Amen. I need some help tonight. Genesis chapter 35, verse number 1. The Bible said, and God said unto Jacob, arise, go up to Bethel and dwell there, and make there an altar unto God that appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau thy brother. Then Jacob said unto his household and to all that were with him, put away the strange gods that are among you, and be clean, and change your garments, and let us arise and go up to Bethel, and I will make there an altar unto God who answered me in the day of my distress, and was with me in the way which I went. And they gave unto Jacob all the strange gods which were in their hand, and all their earrings which were in their ears, and Jacob hid them under the oak which was by Shechem. And they journeyed, and the terror of God was upon the cities that were round about them, and they did not pursue after the sons of Jacob. So Jacob came to Luz, which is in the land of Canaan, that is Bethel, he and all the people that were with him, and he built there an altar and called the place El Bethel, because there God appeared unto him when he fled from the face of his brother. Now, I want to end off reading there. As I said, I want to preach to you for a little while on getting back to Bethel. About 30 years had passed from the time that Jacob first met the Lord there in 28. When we come over here to Genesis chapter 35. And Jacob and his family had greatly declined, both spiritually and morally. They had gotten away from the Lord. Instead of getting closer to God, they seemingly got further away from Him. Right before this call back to Bethel, the sons of Jacob deceived and slaughtered the men of Shechem and took their wives and their children. They made slaves out of them, and they spoiled the people of Shechem. And Jacob said to his sons in Genesis 34 and verse 30, he said, you've troubled me to make me stink among the inhabitants of the land. They had destroyed the testimony of the Lord before the world. Now, the way you and I live and the way you and I treat sinners will affect what this world thinks about us and about our God. Now, although Jacob was unfaithful in his commitment to the Lord, the Lord had not forsaken or forgotten about Jacob. God still loved Jacob. And he reaches out to him. And he calls him back unto himself. Back to the place where he first met the Lord. He calls Jacob back to Bethel. Back to a place of joy. Back to a place of peace. Back to a place of closeness. Back to a place of communion with the Lord. The word Bethel means house of God, or the place where God lives, or God dwells. Don't you want to be where God is? Don't you want to be, my friend, where God is living? Don't you want to abide in His presence tonight? That's what getting back to Bethel is all about. It's about getting back to that place of sweet fellowship with the Lord. And I tell you, if you're away from Him tonight and you're not where you ought to be like Brother Wears, you can be. Amen? You can get back to Bethel. You can get back to God. You can get back to a place of sweet fellowship with the Lord. Now, if we're going to get back to Bethel, there's some things that are involved. First of all, there's a call involved. God spoke to Jacob personally and called him back to Bethel. Isn't it wonderful to know that even though you and I have sinned and gotten away from the Lord and gotten out of fellowship with Him, isn't it good to know that He still loves us? That He still cares enough about us to speak to us and call us back to Himself. When a child of God sins and gets out of fellowship with the Lord, God doesn't just mark them off, but He puts a calling. He puts a drawing. He puts a wooing upon their life. Amen. Calling us back to Him. Now I want to tell you, it doesn't bother me when God is troubling me and when God is speaking to me. It bothers me when He's not. Amen? The worst thing that could happen to any of us is for God just to leave us alone. You know, it troubles me in these days when I preach the Word of God and pour my heart out and give people what God has given me, and yet folks are unmoved, and they're untouched, and they're untroubled. And you know they're not right with God. You know they're not walking with God. You know they're out of fellowship with the Lord. But yet, it seemingly has no effect upon their lives. Now, a child of God may sin and disobey God's Word, but they're not going to have peace in their heart about it. Nor would they be able to continue in it. Because a child of God has received a new nature. We've got something on the inside of us that cries out, Abba Father. There's something that's wooing us, that's drawing us, that's calling you and I back to God. The reason people can sin and continue on in their sins and it not bother them is because they're not one of His. Amen. The dog is returned to its vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallered in the mire. Why is that? Because that's their nature. Amen. There's nothing inside of them, my friend, that makes them want God. When a child of God sins, God speaks to them. And God chastens them. And God calls them back to Himself. For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth. And scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. If you be without chastisement, we're of all. That's all of God's children are partakers. Then are you bastards and not sons. If a person can sin and continue in their sin and God not trouble them and chasten them, then they're not a child of God. Getting back to Bethel begins with God speaking to you, God calling you back unto Himself. There's got to be a call. Then number two, not only is there a call involved, but there is a cleansing. Verse number two and verse number four, and Jacob said, put away the strange gods and be clean. Amen. If we're going to get back to fellowshipping with the Lord and get back where we're supposed to be with God, there's got to be a putting away of idols. Amen. In our lives. One of the last things that John said in his epistle of 1 John, he said, little children, he said, keep yourselves from idols. An idol is anything that we allow to come into our lives that gets between us and the Lord. Amen. You say, can a child of God get idols in their life? Why, sure they can. You remember the children of Israel? They come up out of the land of Egypt. God delivered them with a great and mighty hand. And while Moses was up there on the mountaintop getting the law of God, they were down there, my friend, at the bottom of the hill making a golden calf to lead them back to Egypt. An idol. Amen? And listen, when God gave the commandments to Moses, the first commandment He gave him was, thou shalt have no other gods before Me. I want to tell you, God is a jealous God, and He's not going to share His glory with another. Amen? And I tell you, we can't be where we're supposed to be with God and walk with God and have idols in our life. My question to you tonight, is there any idols in your life? Is there any idols in your home tonight that you need to remove? Jacob took those idols that were in his life and that were in his house, and he buried them. I want to tell you, there's some things we need to bury. Amen? There's some TV shows we need to bury. There's some music we need to bury. Amen? There's some stuff on the internet we need to bury. There's some cell phone stuff we need to bury. Amen? There's some sports programs we need to bury. I'm saying, my friend, God's people, my friend, we're living in a land of idolatry today. People are given over to idols. Amen? Now, we need men to be like Jacob. Jacob took those possessions and they had the idols, their earrings and all of that junk. And he said, y'all give it to me. And he took those things and he went out there and he buried it. You know what Jacob did? Jacob took the position as head of his home. I want to tell you, we need Christian men today. Amen. That'll be the head of their home. Amen. Amen. That'll lead their families out of idolatry. That'll lead their families back to God. But the thing is, before us men can lead anybody back to God, we're going to have to get back to Him ourselves. Amen. We're going to have to clean out our own lives. Amen. We're going to have to sweep our own doorstep, as they say. We're going to have to get the beam out of our eye so that we can see to get the mote out of our brother's eye. Amen. Now, we're living in a land of idols. Many of God's people today have idols in their life they need to turn loose of. The Bible says, what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? He said, for ye are the temple of God, of the living God. As God has said, I'll dwell in them and I'll walk in them. I'll be their God. They shall be my people. He said, wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I'll receive you. We're going to have to get the unclean things out of our lives if God's going to receive us. Amen? If we're going to fellowship with Him, if we're going to walk with Him, you cannot fellowship with a holy and righteous God with a life full of sin and idolatry. If we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. The Lord's hand is not short that it cannot save, neither is ear heavy that it cannot hear. There's nothing wrong with God's hand. It's not deformed. His ear's not heavy. God's not deaf. He said, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you, that He will not hear. If we're going to be made right with God, there must be a cleansing. There must be a putting away of that which has separated us from Him. Amen. And so if we're going to get back to Bethel, it involves a call. It involves a cleansing. And then I want to say it involves a change. Verse number 2, He said, change your garments. No doubt Jacob's family had started looking and dressing like the world. And Jacob said, before we get back to where God is, we're going to have to change our garments. He said, what we're wearing won't work. It won't do. I want to tell you, God cares about how you look and what you wear. Now, if you don't believe that, you ask Adam and Eve. When they sinned against God, they sewed them fig leaves together. And God come out there and He said, that's not going to work. And God slew those innocent animals. And He shed that blood in order to cover up their nakedness. Amen. Now, God expects all of us to look and dress according to the Scriptures. The Bible will teach you how to dress and how not to dress. Now I want to say, first of all, our clothes should be clean. Amen? Leviticus 14 verse 8 says, he that is to be cleansed shall wash his clothes. Amen? Listen, folks need to wash their clothes. Amen? Amen? I mean, you don't need to come in here smelling like smoke. Amen. Amen. Smell it like alcohol. Smell it like drugs. Amen. Amen. You need to wash your clothes and be clean. Yeah. Not only do you need your clothes to be clean, but our clothes should be modest. Yeah. In like manner also, He said that women adorn themselves in modest apparel. That word modest means loose fitting. It means to be fully covered. To cover up all of your nakedness. Amen. That's your cleavage and your thighs. Amen. And I'm going to tell you, I believe it even ought to go down below your knees. I tell you, you see some of these ladies that come in with these tight skirts and you know, they got them right there at their knees and they spend all service trying to pull them down to keep their legs covered. Huh? I want to tell you, ought to be modest. Ought to be modest in your apparel. And then our clothes not only should be clean and modest, but our clothes should be according to gender. Now, God only made two genders of people. That's male and female. Amen? Anything else is a perversion. Now, men should dress like men and women should dress like women. People should be able to tell if you're a man or a woman by the way you look and the clothes you wear. The Bible says the woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment, for all that do so are an abomination unto the Lord thy God. In other words, it makes the Lord sick. I mean, who wants to make the Lord sick in the way they dress? Huh? I believe a child of God, they want to make the Lord happy. We don't make Him nauseated, amen? And so when a man dresses like a woman or a woman dresses like a man, they're putting their approval on cross-dressing and sexual perversion. Amen? Amen. They're saying it's okay to cross-dress. Huh? Listen, it's wrong. It's wrong. And you know, we was talking about this here earlier today. I was talking to a preacher about, you know, some folks, they got real strong convictions when you talk about going to church and being modest when you go to church and being clothed right when you go to church. But I want to tell you, when you go out to Walmart, they go on a job or whatever, they dress just like the world. I want to tell you, God sees how you dress all the time. Amen. Listen, I started out preaching this way. Amen. Amen. I'm not changing now. I used to preach there at Victory, and I didn't harp on this. This wasn't one of my hobby horses. But every once in a while, I'd preach it, and I'd say, I just want y'all to preach it, let y'all know I had quit believing it. That is still in the book. That is still right. Amen. Ain't we having a time? There's some church people today that need to change their garments. They're all painted up and dressed up like the world. They need to change and go to looking and dressing according to God's command. The Bible says in Exodus 23 and verse 2, thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil. Now, just because the majority of people are doing it, that doesn't make it right. I mean, we're fighting an upstream battle, amen? I know we're not going to change the tide. But that still don't mean that we're going in the wrong direction. Amen? Now you can't dress immodestly and dress contrary to this Bible and remain in perfect fellowship with a holy and righteous God. When people get cleaned up on the inside, it'll bring about a change on the outside. When people don't dress right on the outside, there's a problem with the heart. When people get right with God, they'll change their garments. And they'll go to dress in a way that's pleasing to the Lord. Why, don't you want to please Him? Why, if you're saved, you do. You want to please Him. You want to make Him happy. When Jacob removed those idols out of his life and out of his house and got clean with God, he said, we're going to change our garments and we're going to go to putting on that which is pleasing to God. And so getting back to Bethel involves a call. It involves a cleansing. It involves a change. And then it involves a coming home. Verses 3 and 6, Jacob made a decision that he and his family was going to go back to Bethel. Jacob had a desire to get back where he used to be with God. So he made a decision to obey God's word and go to where God was at. He said, I want to get back to where God is. I want to get back to Bethel, back to the house of God. You know, the prodigal son couldn't enjoy the fellowship of the father until he decided to get up out of the hog pen and go home. If you're not right with God, you're going to have to leave where you're at and get where God is. Amen. The Bible says, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. I want to tell you, God will abundantly pardon you. Whatever you've done as a child of God, God will abundantly pardon you. If you'll forsake your ways, forsake your thoughts, and come home to him. Amen. Just like the prodigal son, God the Father will receive you with open arms of love and forgiveness if you just come home to him.
Amen.
But then lastly, it involves a commitment. Verses 6 and 7, Jacob built an altar and renewed his commitment unto the Lord. Now Jacob had made a vow, and he told God, you know, what he was going to do. He said, God, if you'll protect me and provide for me. And he said, Lord, he said, I'm going to tithe. I'm going to live right. I'm going to do just what I'm supposed to do. But Jacob got away from the Lord, and now he's coming back to renew his commitment to God. The Bible says, when thou shalt vow a vow unto the Lord thy God, thou shalt not slack to pay it. For the Lord thy God will surely require it of thee, and it would be sin in thee. It's a sin to make a commitment to God and go back on it. Amen. Better it is that thou shouldest not vow than thou shouldest vow and not pay. No doubt there may be some here tonight. You told God that you was going to love him, you was going to serve him, you was going to follow him, you was going to be faithful to him. But you went back on your commitment to God. And you need to pay your vows and honor the promises that you made to God. No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Now, after his new commitment to the Lord, Jacob renamed the place. It was Bethel. Now he calls it El Bethel. It was the house of God. Now it's the God of the house of God. Amen. He said, this is the house of God. He said, but now God is the God of this house. Amen. That's what getting back to Bethel is all about. It's all about getting back to a place that you put him first place. That you put him on the throne of your life. Amen. That you let him have his way instead of you doing things your way. Amen. I was thinking about this, and I'm going to close with this. Just a little song I remember from years ago. Sometimes songs just come to you that you remember. And I thought about this song as I thought about this message, and some of you may have heard it, some of you may not have heard it. It was an old Southern gospel song, and it goes, think back to the time when Jesus saved your soul. Remember the joy when you gave him full control. But if time has removed the peace you knew then, he's calling you back to the place you began. Child, oh, why do you wander out in the darkness away from the fold? Child, there's comfort in closeness, so walk just as close as you can. Well, I know I'm redeemed, 'cause I've been to Calvary. Though sometimes I falter and fail His will to see. Oh, but forgiveness is all mine, and in Him I'll rejoice, for I'm one of His sheep, and His sheep knows His voice. Child, child, oh, why do you wonder out in the darkness, away from the fold? Child, child, there's comfort in closeness, so walk just as close as you can. I pray something was said that was a blessing to you tonight.